This morning we're going to talk about exceeding his need for domestic support. Now, ladies, my name is Gabe and I am your friend, okay? I know you're not going to like this lesson. I know you're not going to like me. I know I'm going to get the death stare for about the next 20, 25 minutes. So I just want to kind of get out of the way how much I appreciate you and am praying for you, all right? Titus chapter 2 and verse number 4. Now, in verse number 3, Titus is giving instruction regarding the church, and Paul is telling Titus what lessons need to be learned, and primarily how an aged woman should live. Now, aged woman, older woman, none of them in this room, all right? Now, they tell the aged, the older women, none of them in this room, verse 4, that they teach the young women, that's all the women in this room, all right? That they teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, ladies, we gave you an whole extra hour of sleep so you could just digest this wonderful passage and this lesson and this thought as we talk about exceeding his need for domestic support. Now, one day a man came home from work, and he, as he was coming upon the scene of his house, found it in total mayhem. The kids were outside. They were still in their pajamas. They were jumping in the mud and the muck. It had rained a little bit there like it did here this morning. There was empty food boxes all over the front yard and wrappers everywhere. He got into the house and it was even worse. There was dishes all over the place. The dog food had been spilled on the floor. There was a broken glass just laying there under the table, and a small pile of sand by the back door on the inside, and the family room was just strewn with toys and blankets and various items of clothing, and a lamp had been knocked over, and I mean, everything was just off kilter. He went up the stairs and was stepping over toys and things that had been left there on the stairwell, and he was looking for his wife, and at this moment, very worried that something terrible had happened. Maybe she was ill, maybe unconscious. I mean, he didn't know what in the world would explain this kind of scene that he would happen upon getting home from work. And so he found his wife in their bedroom, in bed, with their pajamas on and reading a book. She looked up at him. She smiled and asked, "How did your day go, sweetheart?" And he said, "My day? What in the world is going on here?" And she smiled and she said, "Well, you know, every day when you come home and you ask me what I did today?" And he said, "Well, yeah." She said, "Today, I didn't do it." And and if we understood the gravity of the situation of managing a home, I'm sure there's much to be learned. But it's interesting the value that most husbands place on the help in their wife in managing the home. In the text we read in Titus 2, the word keepers there means to be on guard, to be watching, to be caretaking. The word home there means the seat of domestic life. And there was a lesson that Paul was telling Titus in the church that the aged, the elderly women should be teaching the younger women of his design class these lessons as it pertains to their home. And it wasn't just a suggestion that God was giving. It was part of the will of God for a wife and for a mother in this area of responsibility. And you say, "Brother Rule, now listen, this is 2017, you're teaching something very old, very archaic, and I don't understand how this applies at all to my marriage." All right, sit back, relax, and let me read you a little something, all right? Here's a man's fantasy. His home life is free of stress and worry. After work every day, his wife greets him lovingly at the door, and their well-behaved children are also glad to see him and greet him kindly. He enters the comfort of a well-maintained home that is clean. His wife urges him to relax before sitting down for a delicious meal, the aroma of that he can already smell coming from the kitchen. The home is a place of total peace, tranquility, and quiet. Conversation at the dinner table is enjoyable, positive, and free of conflict. Later, the family goes out for an evening walk and enjoys time together. They return and have family devotions, and the children go to bed with no hassle and no fuss. Then he and his wife relax. They talk together. They enjoy some downtime of relaxation. And at a reasonable hour, they go to bed, make love, and go to sleep. Now, that is the fantasy of most husbands. And a lot of ladies are saying, Brother Rule, that's not fair and it's not realistic. All right, let me ask you a question just to get the mind thinking as we dive into this lesson. How many women in this room would have married your husband if you knew that he was not going to work, that he was not going to bring in an income, that he was not going to support you and one day your family? Probably very few. Second question. How many men in this room would have married your wife if you knew that she was not going to bring home an income, if she was not going to work, and if she was not going to support you and someday your family? Probably all of us. Third question. Now, how many men in here would have married your wife if you knew that she was going to refuse to provide domestic support, doing nothing around the house, not helping at all with the children, leaving it entirely up to you? I think there would be an incredibly different response. You see, most men going into marriage understand fundamentally that the responsibility to provide for the house is his. And you may be in a situation where there's a two-income need, but primarily the husband is to carry the burden to provide for the needs of the home. It's part of his role. It's one of his responsibilities. And most men understand that, and they delight in making that provision. It's one of the greatest pressures that they'll carry. In fact, we'll touch on that next week when we talk about how to exceed her need for financial support. But many men go into marriage with a fundamental understanding that there's going to be a need for some help at home, managing the home front, the help that his wife can bring. Now, every couple in this room is different. The pattern and priority of your needs may vary slightly, and that's okay. But for most, this need of the wife or mom being attentive at home is incredibly important. Now, before we dive into this lesson, I want to give one other disclaimer. If both the husband and the wife work full time, then there needs to be an honest discussion and a fair division of labor when it comes to the home front. If both husband and wife work, it is not realistic, nor is it right, to assume that then she can manage the home as well. The children, the chores, the errands, etc., etc. If both are going to work, there needs to be an equal division of the home labor. He's going to do this, she's going to do that. Or if both work, hire somebody else to do it. Have them come in and clean or run errands or whatever. But the lesson that we're teaching today needs to be filtered through that lens. It needs to be both jointly owned and managed if both are working full time. If you have the privilege of being a stay-at-home mom, maybe the kids are young or you're managing the home, then this is a need that he desperately needs you to exceed in his life. So how do you do it? Let's dive into this lesson and look at a couple things. Number one, you must be prepared. You must be prepared. The Bible says in Proverbs 31:21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She's not afraid of the weather. She's not afraid of what tomorrow may bring. Her house is ready. It's in a state of preparation. Speaking of the virtuous woman, later in that chapter, verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. There is much praise in the home from a husband and children to the wife and the mom who is involved in their life, who takes her role in the home very seriously. There's an incredible reward and blessing that comes from that. So when we think about being prepared, how do we exceed in meeting this need in his heart of domestic support? What areas should we prepare? First of all, letter A, with a clean house. A clean house. You say, Brother Rule, I can't even believe you're going there. I can't either, but here we go. A clean house. 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let all things be done decently and in order. Now, I understand every person's definition of clean in this room would vary slightly. I see Roberto and Jessica back here. And Jessica, I was thinking about you with this lesson because Jessica probably could have taught this lesson today. Jessica comes from a military home, and just in conversations, our family and theirs, and jest and fun, she has made it known and clear that this is the way a home ought to be kept. And I was thinking, wow, I mean, she's on it, you know. And everybody's definition of cleanliness would be different. But there should be an understanding between the husband and wife of what the expectation is of the cleanliness. And then that level should be kept. Now, it should be kept by everybody in the home. I'm certainly not teaching this morning that the husband should come home from a long day of work and throw his shoes there and throw his whatever there and it's all over the place and it's somehow her job to keep track of that. Certainly not. All of us need to do our part. But if you want to exceed in meeting his need for domestic support, if you want home to be the place he cannot wait to be at, you want it to be clean. You want it to be orderly. You want it to be a place that is welcoming, and he desires to spend time there. So it begins with a clean home. This is going so well. Letter B, it continues with a delicious meal. A delicious meal. Now, I know, man, Brother Roll, you sound so old-fashioned with this stuff. And I know, I'm a young, old-fashioned guy. I just really am. But it's who I am. But coming home to a clean house, coming home to a delicious meal, coming home to something that has been prepared, maybe even without a microwave. And man, here's a delicious meal, and here's something that's been cared for and so on, and knowing his likes and his dislikes, and what is his favorite meal and things like that. And I'm not saying it's got to be a five-course meal every dinner, and I'm not saying it's got to take 3 hours to prepare. I'm not saying it's all going to start from scratch, and I'm not saying it's all got to be, you know, homegrown, organic, gluten-free, range-free, I don't know. California free. I don't know, whatever the labels are, whatever, how it works. I'm not saying it's got to be all that. But we're losing the dynamic of family coming home in the evening, sitting around a table, having a meal, and talking. And one of the reasons we don't have that is we don't have a lot of wives and moms anymore who cook. And there is a place for this to be considered in the marriage. I mean, if Susanna was marrying me for my culinary talents, that would be the biggest joke in the world. Reuben, about the best I can do is mac and cheese. And if I'm feeling really festive, I'm going to put some seasoning in it. And if we're really going over the top, maybe some hot dogs in there as well. That's about it. When daddy watches the kids, we go out. That's what we do. And that's just how we survive, all right? That's not my area. But for so many of you in this room, it is your area. I think of Lisa Vanderschaft back here. And a few weeks ago, I was teaching and was a little ill. And I think before I could even get home, there was homemade soup and homemade this and homemade that. I think she even had instructions. Brother Rule, eat it this way. Eat it at this time. Do it, you know, whatever. Just trying to kind of heal me up, you know. Some of you ladies are so talented in this way. And I just want to encourage you to consider that, considering your home. It's a clean place. There's delicious food being made. There's care being provided for your husband and your children. Then letter C, that preparation spills over to obedient, cheerful children. Now the Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, whose responsibility do I believe it is to train the children? Dad and mom, both. Moms, if you have the opportunity to be home with your children, when they're, especially in the early years before school and such, then obviously you have an incredible opportunity for a lot of training. God's blessed Zen and I have four amazing kids, Mariah, Lydia, Annalene, and Joseph. And I'm so thankful for them. And they're not perfect. Sometimes they're like their dad. You know, you keep praying for them. But you know, one of the best things we ever did for our children was in those formidable years, Susanna was home, and she had a collegiate degree, and she had this opportunity and that opportunity, but she realized it wasn't as important. And she invested her life into our four kids. And I do believe for the rest of their life, they will be indebted to her for that. And I believe that it will be a foundation that will be incredible for their whole life. And I just want to encourage every mom, and you may have kids that are all in school and you're managing a lot in your plate, but I just want to encourage every mom this morning, don't lose sight of the importance of investing your life in your children. It's incredible how fast it goes. It's amazing how time flies. And we're going to be a class in 5 or 10 years of empty nesters and people getting out of this life stage. And we're all going to be consoling each other and wondering what in the world happened and where did the time go? And we just got to be reminded right now. And you may not have children yet. You may have young children. You may have kids in school. You may have kids getting ready for college. You may be all over the gamut. But wherever you are, I just want to encourage you, don't lose sight of the importance of investing your life in your children. A prepared home that's clean, delicious food, well-behaved, trained children. So the ingredient, exceeding a domestic support, be prepared. Secondly, be positive. The Bible says in Proverbs 31:26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She speaks and nothing comes forth but wisdom and kindness from her mouth. Now, ladies, I do a little bit of marriage counseling, and I work with couples and families every day, and I absolutely love it. I'm passionate about strong homes. But you know what I hear sometimes in family counseling? Is that the wife wants the husband home more. The husband, quite frankly, doesn't want to be home more because the spirit of the home is not one that he just can't wait to get to. Sometimes he's not sure what it's going to be. I mean, he almost wants to call ahead, you know. How are things? The boss is asking about overtime. I didn't know if I should say yes or no. Oh, yes, you know. It's just kind of this unknown deal, you know. But the home environment's got to be positive. It's got to be encouraging. So, how can we create this environment? I'm glad you asked, ladies. Here we go. Letter A, don't start with problems. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Sometimes a husband gets home, it's been a long day at work, and before he can close the door behind him, here's what's broke, here's what kid needs a whooping, here's what happened, here's what bill came in. I mean, it's just, whoa! And it's just, you know, here's my bag of problems, boom, dump on you. Now, does he need to know about them? Of course. Should he help in resolving them? Absolutely. Should he be responsible for resolving them? Probably. But let him unwind for a minute, all right? Ease him into the reality of what's going on, all right? Just take it slow. Don't start with the negative. Be careful not to do that, starting with the problems, all right? Letter B, how do you create this environment? Letter B, be uplifting. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Ladies, if you get anything out of today's lesson, listen to me right here. You want to be skilled in the art of making your home an uplifting place. You want your husband to be addicted to being home because of the environment that you have created. When overtime is offered at triple pay, he's the first to say no. Why? Because you're home. When the softball league could play another season or have 10 rounds of playoffs, he's not interested in that. Why? He wants to be home with you. When the guys start up the bowling league or the basketball league or the motorcycle league or the underwater basket weaving league or whatever it may be, he's not interested in any of that. Why? Because he wants to be home with you. Because you have decided to become skilled in the art of creating a positive, uplifting environment at home. You've created a place he cannot wait to get to. Now listen, I understand. None of us are perfect. There's probably days Susanna doesn't want me to come home because of the way maybe I was acting when I left or whatever. But I am so thankful for a bride that for 16 years has worked to make home the best place to be. And still to this day, when I walk in the door, wherever Susanna, Mariah, Lydia, Annalene, and Joseph are, they come running to me. And it's, "Dad's home!" Before I've seen a face, I can hear the voices. And then it's a hug, it's time together, how was your day, and so on. It's a positive thing. It's a place I want to be. Quite frankly, most days, at the end of the day, it's how could I be here more? That's the environment you want to create. Uplifting, positive. You say, "Brother Rule, but the truth of the matter is, you don't know what I'm dealing with. And honestly, there's so much negative, it's hard for me to find the positive." And I'm not demeaning this because I know that there are some couples in our class that there's been some dark days. But I do want to encourage you this week to get out a piece of paper and a pen and to sit down alone with the Lord and to find a list of things you can be thankful for. It might be the fact that your husband's a Christian. It might be the fact that he works and pays some bills. It might be the fact that he loves you and cares for you and provides in some way. It might be the fact that he's being a good father in some way. It might be the fact that he fixed something 10 years ago for you. You know, whatever, I don't know. You find whatever it is and dwell on that and be uplifting, be positive, be encouraging, be thankful and grateful. Letter C, how do you create that positive spirit? Share something good from that day. The Bible says a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. All throughout your day, think about things you can share. Oh, this good thing happened. Junior got an award at school, or this happened over here, or whatever. Save that good news and share it with them at the end of a long and busy day. Be prepared. Be positive. Thirdly and lastly, be purposeful. Be purposeful. Ladies, I want to encourage you this morning, make your time at home count. Everyone here is in a different life stage. Some are home more often, some less often. Some have younger kids, some have older kids, some don't yet have children. The plates all look differently. But whatever time at home you do have, I want to encourage you, make it count. Make it effective. Make it efficient. Make something of it. All right, how do we do that? Letter A, focus on training your children. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6, "And thou shalt teach them diligently, thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and when thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy head, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes." Taking time wherever you go in training your children. Now, dad should be involved in training. You may utilize a ministry like a Christian school. You might have Sunday school teachers right now influencing your children. I get it. There's more voices involved. But there's no more powerful voice than mom and dad. And I just want to encourage you, whatever time at home you do have, make the most of it. This week, for instance, you might turn the TV off more often and spend more time with your children, training, instilling in them principles from the Word of God, just having fun and playing games. But take advantage of time at home to train the children. Letter B, as you think about this purpose, be frugal. Be frugal. "There is treasure to be desired in the oil and the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up." We're going to talk about this next week and exceeding her need for financial support. And all of us as husbands should delight in being here and learning how we can exceed in meeting that need. But ladies, can I just tell you already that one of the greatest burdens he'll carry is the provision of the home, the meeting of the needs and the paying of the bills. And there needs to be a team effort when it comes to this approach. And there needs to be a sense of frugality. One author said, "Most men would allow their wives to stay at home if the wife could show that it was their heartfelt, spirit-led desire to be obedient to God in the matter of child training, and if she could learn to be more frugal and content." And I'm so thankful, speaking personally, of as God led Suzanne and I in those formidable years to have mom home and training children, that with that, coupled with that, was a true heart of frugality. Okay, we're going to make it work on one income. How do we get creative and stretch that? And that is certainly possible. And we want to be careful in the area of purpose, being frugal with our resources, being efficient in our time home with our children. Let her see by being a good testimony. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:14, I will therefore that the younger women, there's all the women in our class again, would marry, bear children, guide the house, and give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. God said, my will for younger women is that she would guide her home and that she would bring no reproach upon her family or her Savior. Now, in the verse before this, Paul was telling the young women to be careful because Satan would try to bring a reproach on their family. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:13, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Paul was saying, listen, when they're involved in this kind of behavior, boy, Satan is bringing a reproach to their family and to their home. Now, what was their sin spoken of here in 1 Timothy? Well, it was being idle, not being industrious. I'm not talking about not getting some downtime. You certainly deserve that. But if there's never an uptime, that might be considered. It was being idle. It was visiting from house to house. It was kind of always involved with people. Today you could say from computer to computer, from phone to phone. Modern inventions have made it possible for a wife and a mom to be at home and yet not be keeping her home. And ladies, can I just challenge you with this thought? It will be impossible for you to keep your home and everybody else's at the same time. And I understand Facebook and some of these things have their place to connect people. Thank God for that. But I just want you to consider something for a moment. At the end of your life, what do you want to be known for? What's your legacy? Where does your marriage fit in that? Where does your family fit in that? And I just want to encourage you, make sure the way you're living your life is aligned to biblical priorities. Make sure that your time, energy, and efforts, resources, are being invested in things that truly matter. And we got to be very, very careful to be so involved in all of these things that what matters most is neglected, if not entirely forgotten about altogether. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she maketh ashamed as his rottenness in his bones. And every woman here desires to be that crown. I know that you do. And I'm so thankful that you are. But let's excel and exceed in this area, being purposeful, maintaining integrity and testimony at home. Letter D, how do we do it? By redeeming the time. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And ladies, I encourage you this week, look at your week, look at your schedule, look at your calendar and say, God, by your Spirit's power and help, how can I redeem the time? How can I invest more of me into my home, my husband, our family? What can I do to have a greater impact on their lives? Letter E, be hospitable. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:9, using hospitality one to another without grudging. My heart is always warmed on Sundays as I hear couples and families in our class and they're talking about, yeah, tonight we're going over to so-and-so and we're doing this together and we got together here and we did that. What a blessing that is. That should be the spirit of our class all the time. But you know where that begins? Hospitality. And often in the heart of a wife or a mom saying, you know, we want to share with what God's done for us with others. We want to be a blessing in this way. Be hospitable. Letter F, by being involved in ministry. The Bible says in Galatians 6:10, and we have therefore opportunity. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. And can I just encourage our class for a moment? The His Design class is not the class of families that cannot serve God because we have kids. We should be the class that's leading the way in serving at Lancaster Baptist Church with our families. Stop and think for a moment, what greater thing can your children ever be a part of? Yesterday, Annalene was with me and we visited Javier and Melissa, and we sat in their home and we talked about their lives and their backgrounds and all those kinds of things. And then we simply asked the question that even more important than going to church was where they would spend an eternity. And Javier had been led to the Lord by Brother Salty, and Melissa had not known that truth. And we asked if we could share that with her from the Scriptures, and she said yes. And we opened God's Word, and we shared with them Jesus. And yesterday, so beautifully, Melissa bowed her head and prayed and accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And we had a good, wonderful conversation and talked about some other things, and then eventually we left. And we walked to the car, and Annalene, my 9-year-old daughter in fourth grade, looked up at me and said, "Dad, that was pretty cool, wasn't it?" And I said, "Annalene, that was awesome, wasn't it? I'm so glad God did that. Thank you for coming out with Dad and being a part of that." And I there will be a lot of areas I fail my kids. But I hope that I leave a legacy in their heart that Daddy loved serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what he loved to do. And I hope they have that passion as well. And I hope they do in your home. Get them involved in the ministry. Now, take your bulletin this morning as we close. And I have given a little discussion sheet. You've just come to love these so much. And so I wanted to talk about them here for just a second and see how we can talk about taking these home. And mine doesn't have it. Does everybody's have it, or is mine the only one? Can I borrow yours? Thank you. I think mine slipped out of mine. Thank you. All right, so here we go. Did everybody get one? The discussion? Okay, good. It was just me that didn't. All right. Everybody's like, "No, I didn't get mine either, Brother Roy. I don't know what happened." Yeah, all right. Here we go. So here's the discussion questions. Now, there's three for her in this area of exceeding his need for domestic support. On the back, there's two questions for him, and then there's one question to do together. Now, this was how to exceed in meeting his need for domestic support. So here's what I want to encourage. Both the husband and wife, you both have one. If you don't get one, see one of the leaders on the way out. We'll give you one. Both the husband and wife, fill this out. Now, guys, don't answer her questions, okay? If you want to have a good discussion, use some discernment, all right? And just leave that blank, all right? You do, that's why I put a little title on there. You do the for him, she does the for her. And then together, if you want to talk about it or answer it, then talk about it, whatever you want to do. Then sometime this week, come together and just talk about it. Listen. One of the benefits of this series has been taking these thoughts from the Word of God home and talking about them where they really apply in your life and relationship. And I want to encourage you sometime this week, have the discussion. And that doesn't mean it has to be something dreaded, you know, like, man, we have to find the vacuum or whatever. It doesn't have to be that. It can be a very positive, uplifting, encouraging conversation. You say, "Brother Earl, why can it be that?" Here's why. Because the outcome of this conversation could make your marriage better. Don't ask an honest question. What did you do in the last 6 days that made your marriage better? What made it stronger? What drew you closer? And that's what these discussion opportunities carry. You don't have to do it. But if you truly desire to have a marriage that's thriving, that your children observe from up close and say, "Boy, if I ever had that someday, I'd be happy," then I want to encourage you, take these thoughts home where they really matter and talk about them. And it may be that your level of expectation is different. It may be your pattern or priority of this need is different. That's okay. It's not a one-size-fits-all. It's, hey, here's some principles from the Word of God. You go home and apply it to your marriage however it applies. But get stronger as a result of that. And then come next week as we continue learning, how do we exceed? And we flip the table and talk, how do we exceed and meeting her need for financial support? And I think God will continue to use these things to strengthen our marriages and our relationships. Suzanne and I sure love you. We love serving the Lord together with you and growing with you. We're praying for you. You pray for us that God would strengthen our relationship and then use us reaching our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity that we've had to come together today and to study your word. And Lord, I pray that we would take what we have heard today and apply it to our lives and our relationships. What today can we take to make our home better? What can we apply that would strengthen our marriage? What can we discuss this week that would bring us closer? And Lord, I pray that you would use these thoughts on a weekly basis to get our minds going, to get our conversation started, and to strengthen the marriage that you have gifted us with. Thank you for every husband and wife in this room and their passion to exceed their spouse's needs. And I pray that you'd bless them in the effort of meeting those. Be with them this week. Watch over them. Bring us back safely next Sunday at this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.